Okay, we're continuing in the Shavas Malkasa. We're on page Kuf Vav, Perek Vav. The topic is Tefillin. So that's generally a man's mitzvah, but the women will appreciate the application that he makes for Tefillin as regarding to Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh Lavs Man Tefillini. We know that Shabbos is not a time to put on Tefillin. You don't put Tefillin on Shabbos. Why? Because we're told, Mipnei Sha Tefillin Heim Os. Because Tefillin are called a sign. Os Al Yadecha. They're a sign on your hand. They're a sign. The mitzvah of Tefillin is a sign. It's a sign between us and Hashem. Vashabbos Atzmahi Os. And the Shabbos is also called a sign. So once you have that sign of Shabbos, you don't need the sign of Tefillin. There's another mitzvah called an os, and that's called Mila, circumcision. So usually, you know, you need two signs, just like with two witnesses, you maintain the truth of something. So you have two signs. So you always have circumcision as the sign. So during the weekdays, Tefillin is the sign, and without on Shabbos, so Shabbos is the sign. And one is not allowed to wear tefillin. One can't even be machmir. Because if you're wearing tefillin, it seems to say then that Shabbos is not a sign. So you cannot wear tefillin. Okay. Nimtzanu omrim. So now let's think about this for a minute. Let's use a little deductive reasoning here. If 6 days a week I need tefillin to give me that which it's necessary for my spiritual growth, and if Shabbos I don't, because I have the Shabbos, it comes out, Nimtzanu Omrim, Shabbos Kodesh Yatzma Havi Tefillin. It comes out that Shabbos is Tefillin. Because if whatever Tefillin gives me, I need it during the week. If I don't need it on Shabbos, Shabbos gives me that which Tefillin gives me. Vinkang comes out, Mistaber, Shekol Asher Navin B'mahusin Shalat Tefillin, Yeheza Hezber Al Kedusha Shabbos. So, to the degree that we can explain and understand the essence of what tefillin is, to that degree we'll have an explanation in terms of what the holiness of Shabbos is all about. V'hinei. So let's start talking about tefillin. Ma'us mitzvahs k'sheiris ha'tefillin kipshuto. Let's just look at the simple understanding of what it means to tie tefillin around our body. On the simple level, hichibor, it is a connection. Likshor ulachaber ulahadek es emunas Yisrael lemoach ulalev. It is to tie and to bound and to hadek, to make stick the emuna that the Jewish person is supposed to have in Hashem to one's mind and to one's heart. Tefillin shel rosh lemoach utefillin shel yad lelev. The tefillin on the head for the brain, and it's filling on the hand, which is right across the heart, for the heart. It's to attach this belief in Hashem to our two principal organs, which is the heart and the mind. As we know, tefillin have four parshios that are written in them, Shema Yisroel, and it's got the other parshios that talk about how Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of tefillin. It all show how great Hashem is. And that we bind that upon ourselves. We attach it. We attach ourselves to that reality in a very physical way. V'nei, b'Pesach Aliyo ha'mutfas b'sidurim, in the Sefer Pesach Aliyo that's printed in the Sidurim, shu mehakdamas tikune zor, which really is an introduction to the tikune zor, mevur sham b'pratas al pi sisrei Torah eich shemidos shel Kadosh Baruch Hu makpilos l'dmus ha'adam v'tzelmo kimasher bo. It talks about, through the mystical teachings, how the attributes of Hashem parallel the physical reality of a person and the godly image that he has. And this we've talked about many times. Hadvarim heim sodos haTorah. This is fundamental principles of Kabbalah. But if the simple words, we can see a big insight, beautiful big insight into what tefillin are. So it talks over there, a chesed droa yemino, how chesed is the right arm, gvura droa smola, and gvura is the left arm. V'chein shar chalke, and goes through all the parts of the body, how they relate to different midos of Hashem. Now, v'kasher mevar inyana keser, and when it explains the crown, crown of the person. What does it say? Omer gul golasa hi hakarkafta demonach Allah tefillin. The crown is the head upon which rests on the head tefillin. Okay? So it means the keser hainu rosh im tefillin. It means a head with tefillin on them. That is the keser. Okay? It's the crown. No, but saying the head with the tefillin. Saying a head with tefillin. Okay? We'll move over and explain. What does that mean? Shekesher Adam eniach tefillin havi es hashlomas tzuras Adam. When a person is wearing tefillin, it's the complete image of the person. Because the keser, the crown, is the starting point. That's the will of Hashem. That's everything that comes from there. Everything flows from the keser. Right, so it's not just the crown per se. Right, it's what's representing that crown, that will. It's above the brain, so to speak. So what is it? That's the tefillin. Okay, so it's interesting how we're talking about a person, and as I'll explain, and we're dealing with the tefillin as part of the person. Kamo shazros v'shar chelke aguf heim achelik mitzuras adam. Just like the arms and other parts of the body, they're part of the image of the person. They all make up part and parcel of the total package of the person. Kenat tefillin heim achelik me'etzem mitzuras adam. It comes out tefillin is part of the essential stature of the person. It's part of the person. A person without tefillin is lacking the stature. It's no worse than missing an arm. If you don't have an arm, so to speak, it's like you have no chesed. Right? So, I mean, in other words, every body part represents a critical component of the person. So, I'm not saying if you're missing an arm, you can't have chesed, God forbid. But we're saying that's what's represented. So, there's a concept of chesed in a person. If a person doesn't have chesed, he's totally lacking a critical aspect of his existence. And that's reflected by the right arm. So, a person has to have keser. You have to have a keser. You have to have a will. Right? And that keser is totally dependent on a head that's wearing tefillin. So, without the tefillin, you're missing the first of the 10 attributes. You just don't have it. Now, how do we see this? So, we'll see. V'zem atzan rak b'tefillin. And we only find this by tefillin. Shir l'dugma, for example, k'sha'omer sham tiferes. It says tiferes. What's tiferes? Guf, it's the body. Tiferes is the chest, the upper body. Lomer gufa im tzitzis. It doesn't say a body wearing tzitzis. It's tiferes. Taking another mitzvah that's attached to the body. We have other mitzvahs that are attached to the body. We wear tzitzis all day long. So it's attached to the body more than tefillin for us nowadays. O guf kodesh shel achol nevelas k'tayma. Or we could say tiferes is a holy body that never ate treif food. Another mitzvah. Shagufu shlemus ladam. Because the body is the completion of the person, latzmo, for itself. So that, shagufu shlemus latzmo. Because the body alone is its own shlemus, is its own completion. It doesn't need another mitzvah. In other words, v'chol ha-mitzvahs heima tosefes malo l'guf kitzurasa. Because all mitzvahs are an additional value beyond the shape and form of the body. They are in addition to what God gave you in a body. Avol tefillin, but the tefillin he may etzem tzuras adam. They're part of the shape of the person. She'adam b'li tefillin means it's that person without tefillin. Havi adam b'li rosh v'gulgalas. It's like a person without a head. That's what it's like. It's like a person without a head. She'ein lo tzuras adam klal. He has no shape of a person at all. In other words, you know, it's not a crown on the head, separated from the head. That's what's hanging you up over here. Every person without a crown, it's like you got no brains. That's what he's saying. Without the crown, without the will, without the initial knowledge of what you want in life, right? Then there's no chachma and bina. The chachma and bina have nowhere to go. They have no address. Chachma is picking up wisdom, and bina is understanding what that wisdom does for you. But why should you have any wisdom if you have no will? You don't want anything in life. You have no desire in life. So what are you gonna, what's the Chachma Bina for? I have no will. I don't care about anything in life. Right? That's the core of the person, is to care about something. This is my goal in life. If you have no goals, then what Chachma do you have? It's part of your, that's the whole point. It's part of the Tzurat HaAdam. An Adam has 10 characteristic traits. That's part of you.
But we're not relating to what there is inside
it. It is. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to it. It's going to explain. But you've got to wear it. That's the whole point of tefillin. You've got to wear it because it is part and parcel of you. You have to bond yourself with it. Because if you don't bond yourself with it, it just lays on the table. I mean, the truth is, as we know, the real mitzvah of tefillin, the way it's supposed to be done, is to wear it all day. You put it on in the morning, you put your tefillin on. Jewish people of yesteryear wore tefillin all day long, except when they went to bed. That's it. You wore tefillin all day long. Okay, you have to have a certain, your body has to have a certain level of kedusha to do that. And we're not on that level of kedusha anymore. But it was really, that is the mitzvah. So now, okay, we do it for an hour. And that's our tefillin. And great, great tzaddikim wear tefillin all day long. Right? Yes? There are those who do. You go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll find people wear tefillin all day long. Right? Because they know how to have their bodies with kedusha. Right? But he's saying, you know, it's like, can you imagine a person who has no desire in life, no will in life, no goal in life? It's like a person without a head. Because your Chachma and Bina have no direction. No direction. So what do you do with your Chachma and Bina? You devise ways to play video games better. You know, it's a Chachma not to play video games. So use your Chachma to play video games, to watch television, to know how to videotape one show while you're watching another, and flip channels, and you know. It's a chachma. I'm sure there's a chachma to know how to watch the best TV every night. It's a chachma, but the person's got no goals in life, right? So it's like a person without a head. That's what it is. A person without tefillin is like a person without a head, a headless person. That's what it is, right? If a dover moving out, and this thing is very well understood, because what is this? She'amuna shel Shema Yisrael aksuva b'tefillin. Because the belief in what the Shema Yisrael says, which is written in the tefillin, he etzem nishmas adam. This is the essence of the soul of a person. Va'adam b'li amuna, a person without amuna, ain't a kibal mum levad. He's not just like a handicapped person alone. You know, a person without amuna, you think, oh, he's handicapped. It's not just handicapped. Ela ain't adam klal. He's not a person at all. You're not a person with a handicap. You could have certain faults, you know, a person with a temper. So you're a person with a temper. Okay, a person with a temper. But a person without a muna, he's not a person. He's not a person. Without a head. You don't have a head. Can you imagine a person without a head? Valkena, tefillin hamakashrim es hamuna l'adam. Tefillin is what binds the amuna to the person. Heim etza mahusa v'tzeros. It's the essence of the shape of who the person is. Without tefillin, you have only just one more paragraph. Umani flas hakpala bein tefillin Shabbos kodesh. Now you can understand the parallel, how wondrous the parallel between tefillin and Shabbos is. Shekamo l'gabi Shabbos kodesh mechalo Shabbos hukaakum. We know, and we'll discuss further on, if you desecrate the Shabbos, you, for all practical points of view, we treat you like a goy. A Jew who doesn't believe in Shabbos, doesn't keep Shabbos. He lives like a goy. He may be a Jew, but he lives like a goy. For all intents and purposes, he lives like a goy. Kein b'li tefillin, a person without tefillin, hareza b'li rosh. It's like you don't have a head. V'chaser b'etzem adam ha-yehudi. And therefore, you're missing what it means to be a Jew. He'll going to elaborate on that, and he'll make the connections there. But a Jew who doesn't have tefillin, if you don't put tefillin on, it means you don't believe in Hashem, the way we've been discussing this all along. That all our existence comes from Hashem. We can't live without Hashem. Everything that we have is with Hashem. We have to surrender ourselves to the will of Hashem. Everything He does is for the best. That's all. Everything that goes into Amunah. And that's something that's got to be bound up to your head and to your arm. that I live by that emunah. Now that I know that, I do things that reflect that, even if I don't understand it, like Nasa v'Nishma. Right? My thinking is that I follow what the tefillin tell my arm to do. That's my actions follow, because I have complete emunah in Hashem, complete bitachon Hashem. Even if I don't understand, that's why you put the shel yad on before the shel rosh. Nasa v'Nishma. I have so much emunah and trust in you that I'm going to do whatever you say, even though it looks inimical to my existence. It's not in my best interest, but I'll still do it because my mind follows what the tefillin tell me to do. And if a Jew doesn't have that, he just isn't a Jew. I mean, he is, but he's not living like a Jew. He's missing everything that a Jew has. That's why you got to wear tefillin every day. A Jew doesn't wear those tefillin, doesn't bind himself with the concept. That's what tefillin does for you. Right? So obviously that's what Shabbos does for you as well. It's exactly what Shabbos does. Because what do? You surrender yourself to Hashem on Shabbos. You don't do anything. You have no creativity. And you totally surrender yourself and connect to Hashem. That's what the day of Shabbos is all about. Yes, Shelley.
So if it says the rabbi saying, I understand women have this being a yisera, this sexual level of understanding, you would think, though, that women would need this vehicle to be able to connect there, because there's plenty of Jewish women walking around who have no connection. I mean, I can't believe that.
Okay, so they have a different, yeah.
I believe that a woman with no connection who's born Jewish is more connected than the guy who does some mitzvah but doesn't do the mitzvah to tefillin. This guy is totally missing everything because he's not wearing tefillin, but she's more connected. She
has a different mitzvah that a man doesn't have.
But the scriptural connection we just heard is...
That's right. So there's some
you're
there's a reality that a woman has that a man doesn't have. The boxes are called a bias. It's called a home. The boxes are called a bias, a house. That's what they call batim. Two houses, right? With the strings, of course. So a woman has this, she houses children when she gives birth to babies. That's her tefillin. And that's the umbilical cord. That cord that wraps around is the tefillin. Believe me, a woman has a baby because Hashem wants her. She puts her life on the line every time she has a baby. That's her mitzvah, to have children, and that whole physiological transformation.
Does this happen also
not
so Jewish?
No, but
it's not.
Yeah, but Rabbi,
it's more than any tefillin will do for you, man.
But this
from what I'm told. I mean, and that's why, unfortunately, women who don't have kids, it's a problem. Who don't want to have kids, it's because they don't have a moon and Hashem. They don't. You know, that's infinitely more than what's feeling, and their bodies are designed to do that for them all the time. So they're beyond that. They're beyond the need for tefillin. They're beyond the need for tefillin. If they're not going to, want to be who their true character is, that's a problem. Tefillin isn't going to help either.
But there is a woman who are not Jewish, still have the womb and everything.
I don't want to get into a whole women's discussion right now. But, Jewish women have different kinds of babies than non-Jewish women have. It's a different story. Right? You can get into the other elements because they have the Bini Yisera, they don't need it. Just like by tzitzis, all the mitzvahs, why they don't have it. They have other elements within their existence that doesn't require them to have the tefillin. And more than that, once you become married to a man, then you become one unit. And once you're married to the man, then that it's one functioning unit. And by being married to the man, you become subservient to what the Torah says. And you're having children. See, when a Jewish woman marries a Jewish man, in theory, their mission is to have children. When a non-Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, that's not their mission. It's not their mission. Right? It's a whole different mahus of what children are. In Judaism, children are looked at much different than in the secular world. Right? You look at how Judaism tells us what children are, right? And why to have children? A Jew doesn't have children for the same reason a goy has children. Goyim have children for one reason, for their own selfish needs. Finished. For their own selfish needs. Every goy in the world has children for one reason. They're selfish. It meets their selfish needs. How do I know that? Very simple. Very simple. When we looked a couple hundred years ago, goyim had a lot of kids. Why? For simple reasons. You had a farm. A kid was an asset. It was free work.
Free labor.
Free labor. You got a spread of land. How are you going to take care of the spread of land by yourself? So you have kids. And boys are infinitely better than girls. Always. Always in history. Men was a good thing to have. Yeah, you have to have one woman to have the kids. That's it. Just to have the kids. And to cook the food. That's all. That's all. That's all they were worth. Weren't anything else more. Right? The guys were worth a lot. Because they could build things. Now, how do I know that to be true? Because all of a sudden, when the world changed and it became industrialized, it didn't have farms, all of a sudden no one's having kids. Why? What happened? Because kids turned from an asset into a liability. Because children that were worth a certain amount of money, now all kids are at an expense. That's all they are. Even if you're not Jewish. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're hearing, I talk to secular Jews, mamish, and they're crying the blues to me. I was speaking to a woman, she's crying the blues to me. Nebuch, she has a kid in university. What the expenses are. Mamish, to have her kid is out of town university. Mamish, the mounting expense. They have a whole three kids. None of them go to Jewish day schools. Mamish, what the expenses are for this one kid in university. Mamish, $20,000 for a whole 4 years. 3 years. I said, I don't feel sorry for you at all. What I feel sorry for you. You don't come close to what I pay in school tuitions forever.
Forever.
You know, like it's like for 20 years of my life. What? At least. Right? Since Mamish. So what do you want to have a kid for? Kid's an expense. Yeah, okay, you have it, you know. Okay, the sense of perpetuity. You know, and if you're Jewish and you're you know, not on the right track, okay, you have a Kaddish Zogar, something to say Kaddish for you. You know, used to be this guy in a shul I went to, not this shul, a long time ago. He always talked about his eldest son, and Doss is mine Kaddish Zogar. That's when he's going to say Kaddish for me. That's the kid's value. So why in the world would the world now, the selfish world meets its selfish needs by not having kids? In the olden days, you know, half the kids you had would die anyway before they reached adolescence, unfortunately. If it wasn't because of at birth or disease or Indians. So if you had eight kids, you're lucky you were left with four. Lucky. Right? So you had four kids. So it'd be enough to keep the homestead. And you know, if people want to steal the land from you, you got extra three rifles. No, that's what it was all about. And children and women were viewed as chattel, as property. Mamish, as property. Right? So when they're an asset, you have kids. When they're a liability, you have less. Right? That's obvious. It's obvious. Right? While Jews have, religious Jews have always had lots of kids. Because the whole purpose is to create more Kiddush Hashem in this world. Every Jew is another Kiddush Hashem in this world. And it's always been an expense to have children. It's always, even in the olden days, you sent them to yeshiva. You sent them to yeshiva. It was always an expense to have children. They were never in it. Children have never been an asset in a monetary way. They're an asset in a spiritual way, but not in a monetary way. Right? So the whole mindset of the the whole idea of having, you know, more than one, you know, they'd have, you know, you have one wife to have the kids and one wife to have fun with. You know, they talk about this in Romans, Greeks, right? You had the baby-making wife and the sexual pleasure wife, right? To make sure that you had all your needs were taken care of. And that's what you had women for. That's what it was. That's what it was. In Yiddishkeit, it's not that way. It's not that way at all. Right? It's the merging of two souls. It's one unit. You're bringing children in the world to bring Kiddush Hashem into this world. It's a whole different mindset of what it's all about. You don't think women would, you know, when women were told, you know, if you have another child, it's dangerous for your health. So the Jewish woman said, I don't care. You have kids. And so never listen to the doctor. Who listens to the doctor about these Narishkeit? Right? You just have another, how could you not have another child? It's ridiculous. And they'd have children. They'd be moister nefesh to have children. Very rare. You don't see that in the secular world. You don't have that. It's just a whole different mindset. So that is the tefillin for a woman. And the little children that come out of that are a little tefillin. You know, it's a big mysterious nefesh to have children, especially nowadays. Unbelievable. You're only having kids now if you believe in Hashem. And it's not like doing a little mitzvah. That kid's with you your whole life. It's a nudge the whole time. Yeah. I'm saying it, you know, kleine Kinder, kleine Tsaris, greise Kinder, greise Tsaris. Little children are little pains and big children are big pains. That's what it is. Every one of your kids is a pain. You know, what do I mean by a pain? I mean a pain. It's stress. You know, you to raise a child is not an easy thing to do. It's not, you don't have them, set them on autopilot, and good child. Just have you run off to school and come back, and you come back nice, and you clean yourself, and you stay out of trouble, and you do everything, and I just have to, come to the graduation. It doesn't work that way. Every kid is a complex being with psychological needs, emotional needs, this, and is a drain on a parent. In a good way. But it's still a drain. And having a lot of kids is a tremendous drain on yourself. You only would want to have that many kids only because you believe in Hashem. Believe me, it's not, especially today, it's not a practical thing to have kids. It's very unpractical. Okay, you want to have a token kid, you know. But even that, it's going down the drain. What are they saying? What country was it? I was just reading somewhere. In Europe. In Europe, they are below zero population. Seriously below zero population growth. I think it was Europe. I'm pretty sure it was Europe. They just don't have it anymore. They're not even having two kids. Because people don't... What do they want to have? Kids are a pain in the neck. They take away my freedom. I can't have fun once I have kids. Yeah, you have a dog. Is great. A dog is unbelievable. It's momish, the best kid you could have. Because they do whatever you tell them to do. They're loyal. They'll do whatever you want. You control them. All you have to do is take them a walk. Take them a walk and carry their poop home. And that's all. Once a day. And they'll do whatever you want. You give them gravy. They're a lot cheaper to raise than kids. You know. And it's gewaltig. It's gewaltig. You know. And you feel good. You convince yourself, look what I've done for the world. Look how much love I'm giving to the world. Narishkeit. Mamish narishkeit. Idiots. Right? But they're not idiots. Because that's what they want. They don't want to have kids. People are selfish. They don't want to stress themselves out. The kids are a pain in the neck. So that's Tzar Gittel Banim. Torah says it straight out. That's the curse. The curse of raising children is Tzar Gittel Banim. The pain of raising children. So how much pain can a person take already? Okay, one, two. If I'm nuts, three.
Nuts.
You know? And that's it. Or you convince yourself that, I won't be so lonely when I get older. Someone will take care of me. That used to be another theory. When you get old, at least someone's going to take care of you. But now you have Social Security now. You have RSPs. You have all these things. The truth is the kids don't want to take care of you anymore. Right? So they don't even get anything out of the kids with that either. All they want is your inheritance.
Your money.
So what the heck? I don't need them. I'll leave it to the dog.
Rabbi.
Right, that's what it's all about. But a Jewish woman understands. She puts her life on the line. The mamish put their life on the line to have kids. And this was not now with hospitals and this and that. Mamish years ago was mamish a sakana. Mamish a sakana. You have to bench goyimel. A lot of shittas, a lot of opinions say you have to bench goyimel after you have a kid. Right. So that's mamish giving your life. A kiddush Hashem. That's a big mitzvah. And a woman, and at the end of the day, who has to take care of the kids? At the end of the day, it's the mother, not the father. It's always the mother, not the father. Right? So that's her tefillin. She's got them. If they're not having them, that's a problem. It's a problem. It's a real problem. Yeah?
According to Rabbi Nachman, if
he said that the gematria for children is the same as emuna.
Okay, good. So that's good. Gematria for children is the same as emuna.
Why can't we have Shabbat and Tefillin? Why, is it too much? Is not good? Why not?
Because if you're having one, it implies that... in other words, it's not necessary.
One, you can.
Tefillin is still not the same as Shabbos. Shabbos is the ultimate tefillin. It's like this. Come home one day to Orna and say, Orna, guess what? I'm bringing home another wife. And Orna says, what's this? He says, if one is good, two is better. Two is better. It's exactly the same thing. And Orna's saying, so what was wrong with me?
Nothing.
What was wrong with me?
Two is better.
Well, nothing. Two is better. What do you mean two is better? How could two be better? What is she giving you that I don't have? Well, two is better. What do you mean two? Two is not better.
But
in some areas.
Torah,
what?
When you study Torah, when you study more, it's better.
Good. So spend more time with your wife is better. Spend more time with your wife is better. Get your wife to do more is better. Right? But to have another wife, right? It's not better. In other words, if you have Shabbos, there can be nothing lacking in your emunah that you need to have. You're not reading them at the same time. No, it's not better to read two at the same time. Right? If you have Shabbos, if you have to wear tefillin, that means you don't have what Shabbos gave you. Shabbos is the ultimate tefillin. It's the ultimate tefillin. In other words, once you have Shabbos, you have to be bound to Hashem automatically. I'm putting on tefillin for what purpose? For what purpose? Am I not already ultimately bound up to Hashem? If I'm putting on the tefillin, that means there's something missing. How could something be missing if it's Shabbos? It's almost like Chilul Shabbos if you're wearing tefillin. Because you're saying, you know what? Shabbos doesn't get me totally connected. On Sunday, I can understand. I don't feel that connection to Hashem. I have to put the tefillin on to feel that connection. But if you put tefillin on Shabbos, you're saying, I don't feel it. So you're telling Orna, you know, it's, you know, more affection. I can't give you enough affection. You need more. It's not enough. It's mamish. Because Shabbos is the bas zug of Klal Yisrael. Shabbos is the shidduch of Klal Yisrael. It's the match. It wasn't... when I was picking a marriage, your wife, it wasn't stam any mashal, it's mamish hainu hach, it's the same thing. We are married to Shabbos. So let's go tell Shabbos. My dear Kala, I need something else besides, I need tefillin. It's like another wife. It's like another wife, that's what you're telling, I need another wife. Shabbos said, I can't provide this for you. So you're not allowed to wear tefillin. It's mamish an avera. It's not vera to wear tefillin. That's how far it goes. Yontif, the same thing, right? Okay, base. All right, now, that's on the simple level. This is all the simple stuff. Now he's going to take it a step further now. We're not going to be able to get to the whole point here. We'll start. So he takes it much further now. Base. Amnam, however, bozech alukim at tefillin and Shabbos. But there's a big distinction between tefillin and Shabbos, and Shabbos is so much more than tefillin. And this is going to take a little bit of explanation. Hatfilin hema shchayrim. We know certain aspects about tefillin. Tefillin, number one, are black. Do you ever wonder why they're black? Wouldn't it be nice to have a white, shiny white pair of tefillin? Wouldn't it be really nice to have a white pair of tefillin, silver tefillin? What's black? Right? Haparshios munachas skuras besoch abatim. The parshios, the parchment, they're locked up in a box. You don't even see them. It'd be much better to have a clear plastic, like you have with your tefillin, with your mezuzahs, right? Vabatim asu mi'or behema, and the boxes are made from animal skins. A pretty odd collection of laws to make up tefillin. I mean, me and you would have thought of better ideas, I think. Okay, we want to put these parshas on our body. They're not exactly the prettiest... prettiest thing. We could have done designer tefillin, would have looked a lot more beautiful. You know, we'll take the parchments and, you know, have a nice lucite tefillin, and you know, it could be a lot better ways of doing it, right? I still got the parchment. So, and we're so particular, right? If it's not black, they're not kosher. If it's not animal skin, they're not kosher. They're not in the box. They're not kosher. Mm-hmm. What are you so particular about? You ever think about that? We're not coming here to give the reasons for mitzvahs, because really they're ultimately beyond our grasp. But at least for our level, what can we understand this? On a simple level, let's try to understand at least from our first understanding. What does it mean to have A, black tefillin, 2, enclosed tefillin, and 3, enclosed in skins, of animal skins? She says a very interesting idea. In this world, there's a concept of a machitza. A machitza is a border. A border, a boundary. Rabim Choshvim, oh, this is so good. So good. Rabim Choshvim Shemataras HaMachitza. Many think that a border, what's the purpose of a border? Hu lasos hafrada ben shnei ninam, to make a separation between two things. But the truth is, in general, Materas HaMachitza ain alasos perud. The purpose of Machitza is not to make a separation. Not to make a separation. Ela adra balasos chibor, but to make a connection. What's this? Hinele Moshe, for example, Beis HaKnesses yesh mechitza lezras nashim. In the shul, you have a mechitza for the women's section. Some people mistakenly think it's to separate the women. He says, ma'oyim mechitza. What's the real purpose of the mechitza? Heyos mehilchas tznius. Since we know there's laws of tznius, there's laws of modesty. You're not allowed to have the women mixed with the men. You're not allowed to. It's not allowed. It's a law. You're not allowed to have this. So we come out, we have these laws of tznius. Based on these laws, so women can't go to shul, period. Because of these laws, they can't go to shul. Are you going to say men shouldn't go to shul? The difference is men are obliged to be in a minyan, women are not. It's a halacha. A man has to be in a minyan, a woman not. So now who has to go to shul? A man has to go to shul. A woman doesn't have to go to shul. Okay, so women can't go to shul. Well, that would be the ultimate separation, wouldn't that? They can't even come into the building. But the truth of the matter is the Torah wants the women to get a merit to be able to daven in a minyan. Not that they're obliged. They're not obliged, but if they go, it's a positive. If they don't go, they haven't sinned. If a man doesn't go, he's sinning. If a man doesn't go to a minyan, he's sinning. A woman doesn't go to a minyan, she's not sinning. If she goes, it's nice. It's good. It's a benefit. It's a plus. Kriya Satora. Woman does not have to hear Kriya Satora. Man has to hear Kriya Satora. So, okay, so we got a problem. Men have to go to shul. Men have to go to minyan. Men have to hear the Torah. We're not allowed to mix men and women together. So we leave it at that. What happens when we don't go to shul? They lose out. So, lazeh osi mechitza. That's why we make the mechitza. Shemayata now, yeshev sharis lenashim liskari v'ad maka mechitza. Women can come until the mechitza. Therefore, they can hear the holy things that are going on in shul. Now, come that the mechitza allows the women to get close and to be connected without compromising on the tznius. So the mechitza was to bring the women into shul, not to exclude them from shul. See, if people understood what shul was and understood what mitzvahs were.
So we shouldn't call it mechitza, we should call it devik.
No, because, but the bottom line is because you're making the separation, now they can be together. In other words, this idea of being together in a limited way, but it allows each, and it's more than this, and allows each one to maximize the opportunity. I mean, he's being very simple here, but I'll take it a step deeper. And I don't care what anybody says. You have a husband and wife sitting together in shul, you cannot be totally focused on Hashem. You can't. And anybody who says they can is a liar. Plain and simple, is a liar. You're coming to shul, and there's lots of women. You can imagine, in the summertime, the way women dress in the summer. Okay? You're gonna concentrate on the sitter or on the pretty women, or women who concentrate on pretty men. It's not a difference. Not a difference. The whole idea of Soloveitchik explains the whole idea of prayer. The whole idea of prayer. See, people don't understand what prayer is. See, here's the problem. I feel sorry for the pluralistic, egalitarian Jews of the world who mean well but don't understand things. They're ignorant. That's the problem. They don't learn. So from their ignorance, they want to come up with what's reasonable. So for ignorant people, they're doing a reasonable job, but they just don't understand Torah. People don't understand what prayer. Prayer is your personal, lonely connection to Hashem. It's you alone. It's not with family. It's not a family experience. People don't understand this. It's not. There are family experiences. It's called a Friday night dinner, family experience. Intimacy between a man and woman, family experience. Teaching Torah to your children, family experience. Problem is, egalitarian people don't want to learn Torah, right? They don't want to do the things that the Torah says are family experiences. So they get from the goyim, the family who prays together stays together, because they don't learn Torah either. You understand? You copy the Christians. They don't have Torah. So if you don't have Torah, what do? Okay, so the family who prays together stays together. Narishkeit. It's mamish, not true. So there's enough family experiences, but they don't want to do those. Right? Now, prayer is not a family experience. You hear that, you're a heretic. What are you getting? You hate the family? I love the family, but you got to know when there's family time, when it's not family time. Prayer is your total connection and surrendering before God. That's what prayer is. How can you do that when you're holding your wife's hand? And looking Google eyes with each other. Oh, that, you know, it's just go. There's a time for Google eyes. There is. It's a beautiful thing. And Torah says there's a time for it. At the end of the day, you go to bed. You go for a walk. There's a time to be with your wife and to love her and have affection and all those things. It ain't in the shul. Okay? Now, if you get that through your head, right, then you understand. So now, we want the woman to come to shul. We want them to come to shul. So put up a machitza. The machitza. Now, the woman and the man can be focused on Hashem, but the family can be in shul, but each individual is focused directly to Hashem. And the machitza is tremendous. It's not excluding the women. It's not separating the women. It's allowing both the man and the woman to have the maximum experience in shul. It's to their advantage. Right? But people who come from a world that they don't know Torah, so they're doing the best they can with their limited, ignorant understanding of Torah. And they see what the non-Jewish world does, so they figure that Judaism can't be better than that. So they make those mistakes. Okay, to be continued. There's a lot more to say. There's a lot more to say. We'll bring it back to Tefillin to Shabbos.